And welcome into this week's College Basketball Bonanza After Party. I'm Nicholas Hodel. Dominic Stewart and Dom Contini are joining me as always. And we have quite a pretty packed lineup for this half-hour show for us. We're going to get into it straight away with, I think, the biggest piece of news from the coaching carousel, I should say, this particular week. Thad Matta is back in coaching, and he is going to Butler, a program that over the last few years really has struggled to really get things going in a very competitive Big East landscape. And so they have gone back to their roots. Thad Matta spent a few years coaching Butler way back when, way before they reached national prominence and was able to get themselves into a power conference. But Thad Matta, most famous for his run with Ohio State, did not miss a target from 2009 through 2015. So I know Mr. Contini here would know quite a bit about what Thad Matta can bring to the Butler Bulldogs. What is that exactly?
Yeah, in that 1 year he spent at Butler before his time at Xavier and then what he's known for at Ohio State, he made the NCAA tournament. He had a 24-8 record. That was in the 2000-2001 year. So Thad Matta is a great coach, and I enjoyed every single second of his tenure at Ohio State. His success was very quick, making a national championship in his third season. Definitely does not compare to the coach that we have now at Ohio State. We can talk about that in a different discussion. But another unique note is Chris Holtmann, the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes right now, his former job was with Butler as well. So I would not be surprised if at some point there is a Butler-Ohio State matchup between the two coaches, which would be must-see television.
Yeah, I mean, if Butler can really get that program back to prominence, get some good recruits, get incredibly competitive in the Big East, that would be a fantastic matchup.
Yeah. And I don't remember too much about the Thad Matta era at Ohio State. I mean, Dom can obviously be the guy and the resource there for that. But, I mean, I do remember, you know, consistently watching them make runs in the NCAA tournament, which, and to Dom's point, they haven't really done that in a long time. And, you know, you can point to Chris Holtmann, surely, but Thad Matta did that.
And quickly, too. I mean, multiple Elite Eights, multiple Big Ten championships, made the national championship twice and Final Four three or four times. But, I mean, Thad Matta, he, at the end of his tenure at Ohio State, the biggest question for him was his health, because that's what affected his recruiting. He was not able to travel due to his back and migraines. So, I mean, if he is as healthy as he's been at the beginning of his Ohio State tenure, yeah, he was able to bring in the top recruits. For example, Greg Oden, Jared Sullinger, Aaron Kraft. I mean, Aaron Kraft, he was a top recruit, but people only know him for his fundamentals. But Thad Matta is able to coach, and this hire for the Butler Bulldogs is fantastic.
Yeah, and that is certainly the case. And he's going to have quite that uphill battle with the way Butler is at the moment. But this only adds to what the Big East has been able to do over the last several weeks. Whether it's Sean Miller going back to his roots at Xavier, Seton Hall getting Sahin Holloway, the darling coach of the NCAA tournament, and a former player at Seton Hall, this has now become a situation to where we have one of the better coaching conferences in all of college basketball in our hands, with eight coaches in the conference having made the second weekend at some point in their careers. Truly a phenomenal conference of coaching what we have here. And these new hires only going to go along with guys like Jay Wright as being really good coaches.
Mm-hmm. Dan Hurley at UConn.
Yep.
Ed Cooley, National Coach of the Year at Providence. I mean, the Big East, you know, we talked about it. I mean, it was no cliche when we were saying the Big East is back. The Big East is even more back now at this point. Xavier's got an old coach. Butler's got an old coach. Coaches that were successful there. I mean, I think that's really going to elevate this conference because, I mean, the Big East is elevated with those two programs being good as well.
It's going to go back to where it was. I mean, Madison Square Garden every year in March is always a fun place to be. But as of late, with the amount of talent that has come through this conference and now with the coaching at the helm, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful sight to see. And the Big East, we've said it multiple times, like Dom said, Big East is back, and college basketball is better when the Big East is back.
Yeah, and I know Fox will be very happy with the Big East being at this level of prominence. I mean, sort of something we saw of this past season, the rise of prominence among some of the better Big East programs really made this season incredibly entertaining. And what UConn was able to do in the Big East as well, also incredibly entertaining and made the conference so much better to watch. But with Thad Matta in particular, where would you rank him amongst the current crop of Big East coaching, just to kind of illustrate the kind of coach that Butler was getting?
He's right at the top. I mean, what's another unique fact is Sean Miller, Thad Matta used to be on the same coaching staff at Miami of Ohio. So they know each other very well. And both of what Thad Matta was able to do at Ohio State and Sean Miller was able to do at Arizona, I think those two, if they go back to that standard, they're right up at the top with coaches like Jay Wright.
I don't have anything else to add there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very good description of the current situation. I mean,
Dom knows far more. This is right up his alley.
Yeah.
This was my childhood. That's all I'm going to say.
That is exactly why we added you way back in the start of this season. And you're absolutely right on with that assessment and that. Assuming that Thad Matta is going to coach with ability when he was at peak Ohio State, Butler is very much going to be back. It's going to take a year or two to really build that foundation, but this is a really good hire for a Butler program who is really trying to get back into that Big East relevance instead of that near Big East basement. And this really only adds to, I think, what kind of urgency I think some other programs should be taking, particularly DePaul. Georgetown, they're kind of in a weird situation with that 1 year really giving Patrick Ewing all kinds of leeway.
One week.
Yeah, pretty much 1 week. But, you know, some of these other programs at the bottom of the Big East, like, maybe you take a year because, I mean, you're kind of late now with the way the portal is and the way the coaching carousel is already developed. And so it's, I mean, and I think DePaul is trying to build something that's going to be really difficult for them to do. And so it really just makes it to where the Big East, you know, very, very soon, outside of Paul, and if Georgetown really can't get it together under Coach Ewing, you know, outside of that, we could really see that kind of top to bottom, really good depth from a conference, similar to what we see from the Big 12 conference. I think that's where the Big East is going. Like, you have all these great coaches in the conference. It's only going to bring in better and better players, whether it's from traditional recruiting or from the transfer portal. And, you know, and like you guys have said, when the Big East is in this position, college basketball is better off for it.
For sure. And I think the transfer portal is going to fall in love with a conference like the Big East. Because typically, like, the top players that go to schools like Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, like all the big players going to big schools in the Power Five conferences, they overlook schools in the Big East. And once they find out that, okay, this school that I just went to in a Power 5 conference is not for me, there is a beautiful destination waiting for them in the Big East Conference. And I think the Big East Conference is going to take advantage of that greatly. So I'm really looking forward to see where this conference goes in a five-year span.
Well, and I think the thing to point out is that DePaul is going to be in year two under head coach Tony Stubblefield. And he's got a lot of work to do now that Thad Matta is coming into Butler. Because, I mean, I think all the projections are going to be that DePaul is going to be last in this conference, and it might be unanimous. And they're also losing Javon Freeman Liberty as he declared for the draft. And he scored 20 points this past year. So DePaul's got its work cut out for them because they could be the team that is hurt by the Big East being back. Because it's been a very long time since they made the NCAA tournament. It's been since 2004. And the road's just going to get harder when you're playing an extremely hard non-conference schedule. And obviously, strength of schedule helps. But if you're playing a schedule that you're not going to be capable of keeping up with, that's what I think DePaul might find themselves in position doing.
And that's carrying on, at least for Mr. Continuum, who this Ohio State theme, and talking about some of the transfer portal. I believe this is one of the first big conversations we've had in the transfer portal this entire year. And at the current moment, nearly 1,100 players have been or are still in the transfer portal at this point in time. There have been a few early commits and a few early pickups that have been, quite frankly, huge.
Very huge.
And for Ohio State, that is Mr. Tanner Holden from Wright State going to Ohio State. Could absolutely score at Wright State. You know, did his job defensively as he really needed to. And he's been a mainstay at Wright State for the past three seasons. Yeah. He has been incredible. And some of the numbers from this past year, averaging just over 35 minutes a game in the top five in the conference. His total minutes, near just over 1,200 minutes in the top 10 nationally. He knows how to play basketball for long periods of time. And I think this is going to be fantastic. I mean, 6'6", 185, got that friend scared to succeed in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Ohio State wasted no time replacing Malachi Branham, who is a player who just announced that he's going to the draft if he stays in the first round, which, in my opinion, he certainly will. So they'll be missing Branham. But Holden, a 6'6", 185 point guard from Wheelsburg, Ohio, Ohio kid. Averaged 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists last year at Wright State, an all Horizon League performer. And, like, people saw him on a national stage in that first four game, how well he played. I mean, this guy can score it at a fast rate. He has a very nice handle. And this is the type of player that Ohio State needed. They needed a guard that can create for himself, because that's what they lacked this year. Malachi Branham, he wasn't really a guard. He was more of a 3. And not having a guard that can create for yourself is a big disadvantage, especially when you have players like Malachi Branham and E.J. Liddell, for players that you have to get to the ball to them. And if they're being doubled, you got to be able to create for yourself. So Tanner Holden is going to be able to fill that position greatly, and I'm very looking forward to that.
And Tanner Holden, he really did a good job of getting to the free throw line too, and I think that's something that every team, especially Ohio State, can benefit from. You know, just wearing down your opponents, because Ohio State has been known for getting those big recruits, especially down low. E.J. Liddell has been the latest example of that. So if Holden can impose his will at the guard position, that's only just going to make things easier for the rest of his team.
And just to really illustrate that point, Tanner Holden, nearly 260 free throws in the percentage, just over 78%. That is just remarkable. 201 out of 257, just really did a phenomenal job there. And his overall shooting nearly 50% from three, pretty much a third, but not too many. He really likes to attack inside.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he had 37-11 against Peter Kiss. I mean, no one exactly picked Wright State to beat Bryan in that game. So
they were favored.
They were favored, but college basketball gurus were in love with Peter Kiss at the time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But he can score at a fat rate. And, like, it's going to be very fun.
I want to move on to another player here that is going to the SEC. Justin Hill from Longwood going to Georgia. And a player that really was pretty darn good at the start of the Big South tournament, kind of dipped off toward the tail end, kept his rebounding numbers up very, very well. But overall in the year, you know, fantastic stuff. I mean, just over 14 points per game, nearly 9 rebounds per game. Did what he had to do very, very well. And he's going to an SEC school in Georgia that is pretty much resetting the entire game plan. And just what their attitude, what they're trying to do, they're going and they are pushing the reset button. And I think having a guy like Justin Hill, who got the job done at the mid-major level, going to a power program where there really is not a lot of pressure, for being honest. I mean, it's an institution that is...
They're a football school.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming off a football championship. They're really excited about that. Basketball is definitely on the back burner. And so having a guy like this go into a power conference with practically no pressure to perform outside of team battles, I think that's going to serve him well.
Well, and I think the one thing that Hill is going to have a responsibility in doing is establishing the culture newly under Mike White. I think that's the whole thing. It's resetting expectations. I mean, Tom Crean, it was a good hire. It didn't work out. It happens. Or it was a notable hire, I guess would be the word, because he didn't accomplish too much in Indiana, and then
he was a well-known coach, but he wasn't able really to accomplish much.
Right, exactly. So notable would be the better word to use that. So, I mean, if Hill can come in and help Mike White establish that. I mean, you already saw Hill lead a team to the tournament, the Longwood Longwoods, just getting to the Lancers. But Hill's a very talented player, and I look forward to watching him on the big stage now.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, it's really good to see a player like that use the portal and get an opportunity to play at a power conference level. And for someone like him who really, really led Longwood to history for that program, I definitely believe that there is going to be a huge opportunity for him to go to a power conference. And if he excels there, all the more power to him. I want to talk about one of the two Cambridge players that's going to Arizona State, Desmond Cambridge from Nevada. And this is a guy that's just a flat-out scorer and a flat-out free-throw shooter, which is incredibly impressive. The free-throw shooting for him has really stayed right around that 75% mark throughout the year. Not too many for him in each of his 2 years at Nevada, but still very solid percentages there. You're looking at around a 40 to 45% field goal shooter, around 35% from three, averaged 16.3 points per game both of his years at Nevada. The rebound numbers took a step up this past season from 2021. I think it's very safe to say that should this pan out, Arizona State has a very solid pickup here.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those guys that we've seen a lot of guard play from in the Bobby Hurley era. A lot of ISO play, and I think that's exactly what you're going to see out of Cambridge. He loves to get the ball, let his teammates clear out, and then shoot threes. And he shoots them well, 35, 36% at a really high clip. So
yeah, very much so. 81 of 220, they're all numbers for him.
Now this is going to be in the Pac-12, though. So I'm not one that is a big fan of ISO ball.
No.
So I don't know how this is going to play out. It's definitely a player that we missed this year. I guess DJ Horn could have been that guy. But we really didn't have any players that were like, okay, give me the ball, I'm going to score here. So Cambridge is that kind of guy. So maybe he will help us out. But I'm using the word us because we're students here at Arizona State.
Right. No, we are apart.
Yeah. It.
Right, I mean, and I'm trying to take the neutral stance on this. I'm trying to be as professional as I can, but still.
We're bringing professional analysis while also referring to our school as we.
Right, so and, there you go, listeners.
And I think DJ Horn is going to take another step forward. It was obviously his sophomore campaign. He still has three more years of eligibility given that the 2021 season played without eligibility.
What will also be interesting is we're loaded at guard now. Like, Luther Muhammad still here, DJ Horn still here, and now both of the Cambridge twins coming. So
might as well get the Guard U t-shirts back out while you still can.
Yeah.
Boy.
I actually have one of those in my closet. Why? Wore that the other day on a semifinal Saturday.
Yeah, it's like having AJ Prella Rockstar GM t-shirts.
It's like saying Ohio State is QBU. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Do people say Ohio State's QBU?
No, but some Ohio State fans do.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, so, I mean, that to the point is some ASU fans and ASU calls itself Guard U.
Yeah.
It's just
it's not true.
Totally blasphemous.
Just because of one guard and James Harden.
Yeah, and it's really two because Dort's made it to the
Dort.
But two, oh is, two is two.
Right.
It's only two.
Yes. One more of these early pickers before we get into the rest of this portal, or at least a tad fraction of it. Justice Hill going from Murray State to LSU, part of a bigger conversation which we'll have later on. But for Justice Hill, someone that can score really, really well, going into that St. Peter's game, just over 13 points per game, really solid score. Didn't quite attack the glass too much, but his three-point shooting nearly 35% at that very good clip, 43% from the floor overall, really took charge in the OVC, now taking that step up to the SEC. And he got some years of eligibility. And I think part of the larger narrative which we'll have here is that he is going with this coach. When you have someone that goes into a power program who knows the coach, familiarity, that's huge.
It's very huge. I mean, we saw that with Kelly Young at Ohio State. He was committed to Butler, but as soon as Holman said, I'm going to Ohio State, I'm going with you. So that holds great love for our coach. And now he's going to a program that has a lot of turmoil right now with the Mal players leaving it. We'll talk about that later. But Justice Hill, he can score. And he had a season-high 36 against Belmont. And scoring 36 points in a college basketball game is very impressive. So Justice Hill can certainly score, and he's probably going to be one of the leaders on this team because this roster that LSU has next year is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and that's very much so. And it's also like that, well, let's get to LSU first before we really get into Murray State. There are some good players in Murray State that are transferring because of the coaching change. But LSU, everyone is transferring pretty much.
I mean, all 11 players are off the roster.
Yeah, their roster is completely and utterly gutted. And to really illustrate really just some of the caliber of players we're talking about here on this LSU team, I variously go through my papers for prep here. Evan Maya at evanmaya.com has this transfer ranking system where they actually do it by legitimate stars like you would see in recruiting. And six of the LSU players are considered five stars when only 22 players are given that distinction on that site.
Speaks volumes.
It really does. And what you're going to see is that many power programs are going to be incredibly, incredibly grateful for some of these players. And, you know, just kind of looking through what we have, I mean, that is exactly what we have. And you know, obviously, you know, Xavier Pinson's one of the bigger names. Kind of taking a visit to ASU, as you never quite know there. But which of the LSU players do you guys think may have the biggest impact on whatever team they may go to next?
Milani Wilkinson, I mean, talking about a stud, big body guy, and those are the type of guys you like to buy in on their upside. So I think it's Wilkinson.
Yeah, not too much of a scorer at LSU, but the 6'5", 206-pound sophomore, I mean, he's got that frame, and he is definitely up there. And no matter where he goes, I mean, if he goes to a mid-major, I mean, watch out. I mean, he could be incredibly dangerous with that frame there. How about you, continue?
Wilkinson, he said that he's going to the draft, but if he doesn't like what agents are telling him, he'll enter the transfer portal. But for me, it's probably Ethan Reed. I mean, Ethan Reed is a big that can dominate, I think, at any school in the country. He didn't really play much last year at LSU, but last year was his first year at LSU, but because he's been in the transfer portal twice now. So I'm hoping Ethan Reed can find a spot where he really enjoys.
Does Sharif O'Neal go back to UCLA?
I can see it.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Because Sharif O'Neal was originally committed to UCLA, but then the whole LiAngelo Ball situation happened in UCLA with Steve Alford, and they decided, the O'Neal family decided to transfer to LSU, which is, of course, where his father, Shaq, went back in the heyday. And I wouldn't be surprised if UCLA is back where he lands because I think he did want to go there.
Well, he originally committed to Arizona and then he had that heart surgery and then he went to UCLA?
That might also be true. I don't know. I just remember the whole
No. That is certainly true, but I remember
him. But if that's true, he could also want to go to Arizona.
Yeah. I can see that.
He's American, though. I'm not sure if they like that.
Oh, brother.
I mean, they had one player who was born in America on their team. Brother. Nothing wrong with that, but...
I mean, you can't dispute facts.
Right. Facts do not care about your feelings. And the fact is, it's been a long time since Arizona's been to the Final Four.
Nope. That is also true.
Same with Arizona State, but...
But we have one player in the Final Four. And the national championship, so...
Losers.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, on the flip side of that discussion, Murray State is also in a very similar situation. A couple of the players I wanted to highlight... one, KJ Williams, he had an incredible season. His points per game average, as I look here, never dipped below 15 points per game on the year. I mean, he just consistently put up fantastic numbers, did his job inside, about 8.5 rebounds per game, fantastic shooter for the 6'10", 245 junior forward, and did his job from beyond the arc too. I mean, just over 33%. So someone's going to get him, and I think have a really good time with him, finding a way to really just use him to his ability. And I think someone is going to be incredibly lucky to be able to pick him up. Tevin Brown, on the other hand, also a very good scorer, just under 17 points per game. Solid free throw shooter, pretty much solid from everywhere as far as the shooting is concerned. Another one of those guys that dominated the Ohio Valley Conference. And I could easily see those guys really finding some good landing spots as well. But for the rest of the transfer portal, there are several guys that, you know, I have printed out pretty solid notes for, but I want to know what you guys think might be some of the better players to really watch out for as far as where they may end up landing.
Andre Cabello.
I think it's very interesting that he wants to leave Illinois. I know he's had some great time at Illinois, but he also has had a lot of struggles. He missed a pretty easy layup, I would say, in the Big Ten tournament this year that allowed Illinois to lose to Indiana. Curbelo plays at a very fast speed, which leads to a lot of turnovers and a lot of struggles on the offensive end. But yes, he's a great player. So if he finds the right spot, the right scheme, I think Curbelo can really flip the narrative of what his college career has been to this point.
Yeah, and Curbelo is a guy that really did struggle this past season. Uh-huh. He had that injury that he was out for the end of November all the way to the middle of January.
Yep.
Had a couple other games of that illness, and he was not the same player whatsoever, not the player people were expecting him to be at Illinois this past season. Someone I'm looking forward to seeing where they may end up. Who knows where Terrence Shannon might end up. His appearance in the portal, definitely one that I think is going to get a lot of suitors. But I also look at what Utah Valley has, and Fardal is a mock, or I hope I'm getting that name right. But you're looking at a guy who takes command of inside, scores at an incredible pace, only scored in the single digits once this season. Which is incredibly impressive in and of itself. You're looking at a guy that, you know, if you want to look at a guy that might draw the comparison to what Oscar Tshiebwe did this season, just the way he was able to transition to Kentucky, be incredibly effective. Now, that's not to say that he's going to make that transition all the way from Utah Valley to an incredible power conference school and still have that same level of productiveness. But I really do believe that if there's a guy that could do it, this might be the guy.
I think Nigel Pack. From Kansas yes. State. He super talented guard that emerged on the scene at Kansas State this year. Played really well in the Big 12. So, obviously, Bruce Weber leaving Kansas State potentially. And he just wants to go somewhere new. I think Nigel Pack is going to be one of the highly accommodated transfers. I really wanted the Aztecs to go and get him because he thrives in the pick and roll. And that's the only offense that offense can use because nobody likes to create their own shot. Pack's a really good player.
Yeah, if you want to look at the comparison to just not necessarily a player comparison, more of a situation comparison, Nigel Pack, I believe, is this year's Marcus Carr, a player who really performed at a power conference school, not quite as competitive with the rest of their conference as far as in winning-wise, but he played incredibly well, won the conference's most improved player honor, was on the All-Big 12 first team, and he wants to go to a place where he can showcase his skills and contend and be in the NCAA tournament. Because now he has proven that he can do that. And he's proven that for a couple of years, that he can play really well in the Big 12, which really goes without saying that is absolutely phenomenal.
Ben Vanderplas from Ohio. Nick loved Vanderplas going into the NCAA tournament in 2021. He played extremely well in that win over Virginia. So a player that knows how to get it done at the big stage. And also Adam Miller. Miller was a fantastic player for Illinois back in 2021 and then was hurt this entire year. So if you want to bet on Miller's upside, I mean, that's a high-risk, high-reward transfer, I would say.
Yeah, I would definitely really say that with the utmost of responsibility there. And just kind of like your thoughts on that?
I mean, I like Dom's point with Vanderplas. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see how he does not playing in a system like Jeff Bowles. Because Jeff Bowles' system at OU really fitted Vanderplas and their run 2 years ago and their success last year. So, that was a great point. The transfer portal is just going to keep coming more and more critical as these years come. So it's going to be a lot of fun, especially in the offseason for college basketball, in which in years past, the offseason wasn't as highly regarded. So now it's going to be more critical for coaches to be recruiting during the season. with high school players, but now with college players as well.
Yeah, and the final point to this show, I mean, Ben Vanderplas, you want to talk about a guy that not only gets the job done on the court, but also gets the job done academically as someone that was on the 21-22 Academic All-America team.
There you go.
You know, you want your academic points. Ben Vanderplas really is your guy there. And there might be a guy that might be a bigger point of emphasis to close this out. Mark Sears. Terrific season from him. I mean, nearly 20 points a game, 6 boards a game, really good shooting numbers. You know, at 6'1", 215, he's got that frame. He's got plenty of years of eligibility. Look at this guy as a guy that many power programs are going to want to pick up and really make known that, hey, this guy's going to be on, this guy might be in a power conference program and excel at that level. But that is all the time we have on this Bonanza After Party episode. For Dominic, I am Nicholas Hodel. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll see you on Sunday for a pretty big episode. It is our season-ending awards show with a twist, a Bonanza Rank-style show. But so tune in, BlazeRadioOnline.com, 7 p.m. Arizona time, Sunday, for that. And have a very good rest of your week, everyone.